Good day, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Sephaku Holdings Limited Interim Results Conference Call. All participants will be in listen-only mode. There will be an opportunity to ask questions at the end of today's presentation. If you should need assistance during the conference, please signal an operator by pressing star and then zero. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I would now like to hand the conference over to Sakhile Ndlovu. Please go ahead, ma'am.
Thank you, Judith, and good morning, everyone. I'd like to thank you for participating this morning. We anticipate that our presentation will be plus or minus an hour, and to take us through the presentation this morning will be Neil, our Financial Director, and he'll be joined in for the Q&A by the rest of the management team, and that includes Peter Fourie from Sephaku Cement, the CEO, Jurgens, the MD for Metair, Kenneth, our Business Development Director, and Dr. Lal, the CEO. So I know that most of you might have already downloaded the presentation, but if you are unable to do so, please don't hesitate to drop me an urgent email to sakhile@sephold.co.za, and I'll try and get it to you in a few minutes. Otherwise, at this point, I'd like to hand over to Neil.
Thank you very much, Sakhile. Morning to all the participants. As Sakhile has mentioned, I'm going to talk to the presentation that has been uploaded this morning, and we'll pass the introductory and disclaiming slides and start right on slide number four. The 79% increase in net profit year-on-year is something that's driven by cement's results for the first 6 months. As you will see on the left-hand column, group our equity accounting numbers for cement. It's a profit of 16.2 million as opposed to the loss of 5.8 million the previous corresponding period. That is something that we've already released to you on the 23rd of July when Dangote announced their interim results, and is driven by the column to the far right of the fourth slide. The sales revenue for cement, 1.2 billion as opposed to 1.1 for the previous corresponding period, a very slight increase due to a price increase, while volumes were for us flat during the 6 months. We saw a first quarter increase of about 7%, but a pullback in the second quarter, so a flat volume over that period. EBITDA margin 22 as opposed to the 18 for their calendar year and financial year 2017. The margin of 14.6 versus 10.1 and the net profit of 45 million then compared to the corresponding loss of 16.1, giving us the equity earnings of 16.2 versus the 5.8 as the contribution. As a final comment with regards to these results, to the 9 months in the September, cement has paid down a further 150 million rand in capital, 150 million in interest as well, so the balance currently standing at 1.75 billion. We started at 1.82 and will end the year at 1.62. Continuing with the group results, the Metair results reflecting more of the state of the construction industry that we saw during this period. Sales were up by 20 million rand, volume and price wise, but margin 8.3% as opposed to a 13% in the previous year. Indication there of how Metair previously were running at very efficient margins and is now being hurt by price inflation not keeping up with normal cost of production inflation. The net profit, therefore, 20.3 million for the period compared to the 31 million for the corresponding period, down 11 million rand. However, we were still in the position to also service debt and interest throughout the period. Debt service during the first 6 months is 19 million, which will give us a 37 for the year, which is similar as last year's service on the on that specific debt line. Our total debt repayment last year and met year was 56 because we also paid a 20 million into a revolver that we have available. But our total debt balance came down from 163 to 141 and aiming to end the year at about 123 to 127. Group results, taking account of the Meteor and cement contributions, then net profit of 26 million compared to a 14.8 and headline earnings up to 12.6 cents from last year's 7.1. Revenue increased 5.4% cement, 4.5% in Meteor. That improved, yeah, I think the cement results we've talked about, spoke about more than once. Volumes flat, I'm not going to repeat that. Meteor, we saw the volume contribution, of course, coming from the 12th and the 13th plant, as well as the mobile plant that was added to the fleet. So the 13th plant did not add substantially to production. It came into production, commenced production in September. There was a mobile plant operating on the site while we were doing site establishment, but that's the main reason why we saw a revenue increase by 4.5%. There was only a 1% increase as far as the pricing is concerned, or below 1% with regards to that. Increased competition was due to lower demand, and I think that flows through from what we've all seen in the industry with regards to business rescue and liquidation. All those projects seems to be pulled back at some stage. Even if they do pick up and continue, there's always a disruption period and a period in which you need to replace quality cubes with cubes that you need to source quite quickly and normally at least competitive margins than what was and what you're seeing on a job that was currently in hand. Sepalco Holdings cost reduction program is aligned to our tough trading environment to reduce expenses. We're looking at a number of things to also reduce the head office cost, and we will come back to that in a later slide as well. We're now on to slide 6. The cement higher revenue due to increased prices. Again, prices was increased in February and held. You'll see a slight flattening of our price on bulk over the last 3 months. That is more factor driven by the demographics of where we deliver. If you sell a little bit less quality tons into an area which is more outlying and where the delivered price is higher, you will pick up that type of effect without the price really going down, which would be our ex-factory price. Slide 7, I think we have mentioned and before, and it remains one of the competitive issues specifically on the bag side is the presence of blenders and the activity in the market also now through retailers and not only directly to contractors on site. The difference between the indexed bulk and bag prices, as you can see on slide 7, provides an umbrella for these guys to buy on bulk at an extender at less than what the extension cost would be, of course, to a bag, and sell under the existing umbrella that is created by the difference between bag and bulk prices. Moving on to slide 7, that's just same information shown on a shorter timeline so that one can see what really has happened over the last year. That we are still above the indexed 100, which we started the year for, sitting at 102%, and again, this is a weighted average selling price, and that's why you'll see the bag specific price being above the 2.5 was the indexed or the weighted average prices looks closer to just 101, 102 than what you would expect to see over the period that we're reporting on. With regards to imports, again, I think the story remains the same, very sensitive to the exchange rate, and slide 9 shows exactly that. When our exchange rate is weak, imports are weak. When there's a strengthening of the exchange rate, they become more competitive, and you see that imports are also picking up. There's always a bit of a lag, maybe a month or two, because of course, when the exchange rate is good, they will take cover and they'll ship at that point and will only arrive up to 6 weeks later. But there is a definite correlation between those two factors. Estimated demand remains constrained. We'll see that although growth was still positive in 13, 14, 15, the amount of the growth came down from an 8 to a 5 and to just about above, just below the 4. And then in the last 2 years, we saw that drop in 2017 below the 0, and we were seeing the negative growth then during that period. Anticipation is that will go up, specifically driven by a number of infrastructure demand announcements that might kick in over the next 18 to 24 months, depending on how quickly these get out of the ground. Meteor impact on slide 11 is facing the declining demand. I think this is something that you've also seen on our those that attended the office conference at the end of September in Cape Town. A number of announcements from the Basel REIT, the NMCs, Libero, all going through periods of either rescue, loss making, seeing order books coming down, and that's something that flows through to make here. Even if you do not service these contractors directly, they are often serviced by other contractors that make use of our services, and who's then caught in the line of settlement of debt and repayment and so on. These contractors have more than one company that they work for. They need to recover their debts before the debt payments flow through. So apart from the decline in demand, the other material item on the Meteor side is the recovery of debt. And we've seen there that whereas the competitive figures last year in the first half, we did not have any bad debt provisions, but made a large provision in the second half, where we took our provision of bad debts from 1 million to 6 million, therefore an increase of 5. We've written off 4.3 of that during this year, but maintained the provision at 6. And our anticipation is that we will have a similar requirement for the current year than what we had for last year. I have alluded to a higher interim revenue from each year. Volume increased by 4.5%, driven mainly by the new plants, and we'll talk to that on the next slide. And the mobile plant that also produced or gave us the opportunity to access areas that would normally not be able to be serviced by fixed plants. So on slide 13. We're looking at our increase in plant capacity, volumes peaking in 2015, coming down slightly in 16 and 17, going up again in 18, but you'll see there that plants 12 and 13, and this is mainly plant 12. As I said, plant 13 only came into production in September, has enabled us to pick up volumes again. The 11 existing plants would have been below the volumes that they've maintained, even the 10 maintained back in 2014. But we are maintaining those volumes through the additional reach that we have on diversification of our plants, areas that we can service, meaning the south of Joburg, our 12th plant in Denver, Cleveland, and the east of Pretoria, our 13th plant being the Centurion area. There where Afrimat operates their Littleton Dolomite mine. Cost reduction program, we've looked really at every line item, cutting down on printing costs, traveling costs, and things like that. We've also reduced our board size from 10 members to 7. We had the resignation of Mr. Paul Makwana, who was appointed chairman of SAFCO, and that just added additional responsibility to Paul's available time, and he decided that it would not do justice in keeping the position with SAFCO Holdings. So he resigned, and then we've also, when we were embarking on this, saving had Shebe and Kenneth volunteering to step down. Shebe has been with us since inception and played a big role in our social development plan, the establishment of that, whilst always also being involved with Seth Fleur, where she's now spending most of her time. Kenneth, as you all well know, was our Netair MD, founder member and Netair MD for the first 8-year period. He did a handover to Jurgens, moved to our business development, and feels that he can, on a consultant basis, provide the services to us as and when that is required, rather than stay on the board during this period where we're really looking at cutting costs. Financial performance on the cement side, the equity earnings increased by 22 million rand, said before, I think we're going to rush through this one. By 22 million from the 5 to 16. The EBITDA margin 22 against an 18 previously, and EBITDA increased by 30% from 197 to 256 over this period. Metier average concrete price increase was below cost inflation, only 0.5% as I mentioned. We saw the 4.5 increase in volumes. Cost of sales, however, increased by 9.1%. That is, of course, not only due to an inflation aspect, but also the fact that we now have 13 plants compared to the 11 that we had in the corresponding period. Just looking at possible impact going forward, if we turn to slide 17, it's also a slide that we've used before, but we've added an additional line. It shows the blue line is the price producing inflation. We have our average sales price, which has been recovering, and that 103 will be a number that is familiar to you now. But we have now two costs per ton of cement lines there. The one is the one excluding transport, and then the other one, the red one, including transport. Just to show that there's a substantial gap between the cost of production before transport, which of course is driven by the fuel price, in which we have very little control over, and the PPI at this point in time. And that's what's putting us in a position where we are saying that we will be able to continue to service debt, and should there be a turnaround on the on the growth and demand of cement, we will be very well priced, positioned to take the maximum benefit of that existing gap that we're seeing between those two lines. I did mention that Meteor, of course, when we acquired the company, was running very, very efficiently. Not that it's not running efficiently anymore. You'll see that just looking at a selling price increase, which has really been flat from 2017 to 2018, we've seen a raw material and transport cost outstrip that, and that has a very negative impact on margin, where we started out with margins of 15, 14, and 13 in the first 3 years, where we're now sitting at nines and eights, and that is really the function of the state of the construction industry, the work that is available, and the pricing of competitors to be able to access that work, where we see margins really coming under pressure, and very often seeing that competitors who are fully integrated would make a turn on aggregates and would make a turn on cement, and the final product being the mixed concrete to the consumer just being the conduit of getting it to the market. Slide 19, focusing on the strength of the balance sheet. I think that message came through. To date, Meteor paying 19 million to get it down to 141. The bad debts, I have also spent time on 4.3 written off, maintaining the provision at 6 million. That remains the focus of management, to ensure that we sell to debtors that we can recover from. Where insurance is available, we take that, but also insurance is not available at all the time, but we would limit our provision of concrete to customers that fall behind payment very, very quickly in a new month. If a payment becomes overdue, the leniency is 2, 3, 4 days, and then we act upon that. Meteor cash flow started the year at 3.8. That was something that I mentioned the year-end results. We did make that 20 million payment into the revolver. I think it was amount closer to 27 million probably at year end, but we did decide to move money from the bank account to the revolver. Generated 43 million in cash. Taxation paid of 3.7, the interest of 7, and net debt outflow of 18. There was an in of 1 and an out of 19, and then of course the capital expenditure on the Centurion plant. Not something that we would have done under normal circumstances, but I think we believe that the Centurion plant does give us strategically a very good position. It's something that we have been looking at for the last 2, 3 years, and when the opportunity arose to establish the plant, we did decide to spend the capital increase our plant count, and that is the resultant expenditure on that, ending the period with the cash flow cash on hand or in bank of 4.1 million during that period. Post period cement, Quarter three has also been announced by Dangote already, and we saw that revenue was flat now for the period, where we still saw an increase for the first 6 months on flat volumes. The reduction in volumes now started to impact our total revenue, and we saw that revenue was flat. Increases of prices were between 2 and 3% during August. I think I'm going to leave it at that because I know that will be the first question to Peter when he gets an opportunity to talk to volume and price. Sales volume expected to decrease by between 5 and 10% for the year ending December, purely on what we've seen. As we've mentioned before, we had a 7% increase in the first quarter because of a performance against rain and a competitor not being strong in the market. We already saw a decrease in the second quarter, but we managed to stay flat for the half. The third quarter saw this reduction. We are 9 months today, is now sitting at a decrease of 3.5, and we anticipate that would go up to the 5. By the end of the year. Net profit year on year, 13 million as opposed to the 16.4 million for the corresponding period. Looking forward in the next 24 months, the very last slide, 23, we do expect times to still be tough, and the position of the rest of the industry to impact on specifically the material side of things and the demand on the cement, depending on what flows through in government implementation of growth strategies and confidence of the rest of the market in that. So our focus would be to continue to reduce the debt in both companies, as we have done successfully. It reduces our interest burden, and it reduces, it just improves our position in going forward with the strength of the balance sheet. The head office cost reduction has only just started, so we anticipate that we'll see half a year's benefit in that by the end of our financial year. We will continue to rationalize the fleet reduction in Metier, where the intention is to reduce the number of trucks to 10 by the end of the financial year. That is on track, and we will continue to evaluate potential opportunities to enhance shareholder value, but one would appreciate that current circumstances and value of paper and banks credit committee's adverse appetite for risk in the construction industries makes these opportunities very, very limited.
Thank you very much, Neil. At this point, we'd like to turn over to Judith for questions.
Thank you very much, ma'am. Ladies and gentlemen, at this time, if you'd like to ask a question, you are welcome to press star then 1 on your touchtone phone, and it'll place you in the question queue. If I ever decide to withdraw the question, you're welcome to press star then 2 on the touchtone phone to remove yourself from the question queue. Just a reminder, should you wish to ask a question, you're welcome to press star and then 1. The first question comes from Etienne Roux of Truffle Asset Managers.
Hi, morning guys. Thanks for the call and thanks for your time. I've actually got a couple of questions, and maybe I'll start with 3, and we'll see how it goes. So you give the 9 months updated revenue numbers, which is basically flat, but the first 6 months revenue was up 5.4%, which implies that the third quarter is down 7% roughly. But then you said volumes are down 3.5%. I mean, it doesn't make sense because then it implies the pricing is down 3.5% as well to get to revenue minus 7.
Interject because that's a quick one. Revenue for the 9 months is down 3.5. Just like revenue was flat for the first 6, And it was up 7 for the first quarter, so being flat for the second 6, it was down
I'm talking about revenue.
Not volumes.
So revenue for the 9 months is marginally up, while the first 6 months was up 5.4%. So it implies that the third quarter, if you back it out, is down 7% revenue. So not on the volume side, on the revenue.
Okay, so that's
the first question. In second round, Metier, so the operating expenses were up 10%. I know that you've opened the new plant, but it's only September, so it wouldn't have had a big impact. I mean, so just on that 10%, how much is the like-for-like, excluding the new capacity? And it seems quite high. I mean, I would think in this environment that operating expenses should be at best or at worst probably CPI, probably less than CPI. And then thirdly, just on the Spark a balance sheet. So you currently have 140 million of net debt, while the Metier historic EBITDA is around about 50 million. So you've got 2.75 times gearing level. Just what is your covenant? What are the banks looking at? And I mean, is there a risk to that, to the holdings balance sheet?
Okay, Etienne, sorry, can I try and clarify that quarter three cement slide?
Sure.
I think it's not very clear. The year-to-date volumes is down 3.5, not the quarter itself. If you refer to Dangote released statement, it actually stated that the quarter was down 10%. So that's where the confusion has come from.
All right, okay, I understand. And then, I mean, Peter, just on the same type of question, you said if you want to get to the end of the year, you expect volumes to be down 5 to 10%. That's for the full year. So it means year to date is minus 3.5, but it will go to 5, or let's say down 7% by the end of the year. So it means the fourth quarter is also going to be down 10 or 15 or whatever the number is. Okay.
All right. And that's where we gave the range, third quarter starting at 10%. And we're not allowed to forecast the last quarter, that's why we gave the range.
Okay, sure. Thanks.
Etienne, Jurgens here from Metier. Yes, you're correct. I mean, 9.1 obviously is higher than CPI, 100% correct. Yes, there's the extra holding cost of obviously the 12th month, which started similar time last year, which we actually bring into the calculation. So there is the holding cost of the 12 plant, which has been in operation for since April 2017. And then the Centurion plant, which you're correct, it officially started in September. However, we have added the mobile plant, which did run as the Centurion plant up until the official plant was commissioned. And then obviously the mobile plant does have a holding cost as well. So that does take care of that to a very large degree. And then, just in terms of the actual plants itself, each of the plants are looked at individually, so they are looked at in terms of overall cost, to scrutinize cost, so that we do not lose something in the calculation there. But so each of the plants, in terms of cost management side, is in line. The biggest contribution there lies in the fact that there's the extra holding cost for the 12th plant and now the 13th plant as well, which includes the mobile up until the official 13th plant was launched.
Okay. All right, thanks.
So maybe, Etienne, maybe just to add to that is a little bit maybe too much detail on that, but fuel, for example, which is quite an impact in terms of overall cost, year-on-year is in excess of 30% increase in cost. Mm-hmm. So that, unfortunately, does come into the fold as well. It's a little bit more detail perhaps on that, but other than that, the cost is all in line with inflation as the extra holding cost.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Okay. Etienne, with regards to covenants, holdings itself, of course, has got no direct, has got a 2 million facility. So we're not operating under any covenants or repayments or whatever the nature is. Metier, in their own right, is, and that is something that we are continuously discussing with the banks. Their current ratio is 2, which they are meeting, But it does happen that over major periods, specifically when the major period is over a weekend, and we pay creditors before month end in order to maximize discount, and debtors then only pay after the weekend so that funds come in day 3, 4 and 5, you do breach that technically, but it self-corrects by day 5 or 6, and that consistently happens. I am in a quarterly or a monthly discussion at currently with the financiers. They are quite happy that the position is under control. We are paying debt and interest, and the measurement of the covenants that self-correct on a continuous basis is not a concern to them.
Okay. All right. Thanks, guys. Well, while I'm on the phone, maybe two last quick questions. Just on the debtors came down quite a lot. I mean, is that purely just on timing, or is it a sustainable reduction in working capital levels? And then the CapEx was also quite high. I think you guided to 10 to 15 million or 10 million of CapEx for the full year, which in the first half was 14. So just, I suppose it's extra plants that have been added, but just maybe going forward, what's the CapEx guidance? And then, sorry, thirdly, the overhead cost savings, I mean, how much do you think can be taken out from the overhead?
I wanted to say that in my announcement and then got stopped by a sponsor, so I'm not sure whether I can tell you now. Again, yeah, look, I mean, on a total cost of 23 million rand, if you see outside 10%, that is really probably how well you can go. We're going to try and do a little bit better than that, but we'll see what we can get to during that period. Just to come back to the Meteor debt answer, yes, that is exactly where I mentioned to you that we're now in a position where if debtors doesn't pay by due date, they're under threat to lose supply within a week. So debtors do pay, and there's very little therefore that runs into the overdue period, and that's why we're seeing that on debtors. And on CapEx, yes, that's why I also made the comment that we would probably not have gone that CapEx route if it wasn't for the opportunity that presented itself. And the flip side, of course, is the only other expense which we normally would have is our transport, and we're in a process where we're reducing the fleet. So we would not anticipate that we would go beyond what the norm is for us, and that was really the establishment of a plant, and also a mobile plant that did require some capital, of course.
All right. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
The next question comes from Tanasha Ho of Lorium Capital.
Hi.
Hi.
Sorry, so another issue around balance sheet. Can you just remind us exactly how much EBITDA you guys would need to generate in the cement division? So I think the concern from our side is that conditions in the cement division are deteriorating while your debt service obligation becomes a bit more onerous next year. Can you just please remind us exactly what your targets would be for next year and what your options would be if you fell short of that target?
Tanasha, I think it's probably beyond a quick and easy answer from here. We have tried to give you an indication on cash levels the debt service required going forward is really something that is available, and it's something that we're managing, looking at. If we were in a position where we anticipated a cash sweep in February, of course, if that happens, it pushes down the interest requirement for the year, which brings down the debt service requirement and flows through from that. It's something that we are acutely aware of. It's not being assisted, of course, by the reduction in volume that we're currently seeing. If this maintains, it is something that we will have to engage on. But at the current moment, looking forward, there's no red flags for the immediate, because again, our measurement is a rolling measurement. So you know, we're still at the moment benefiting from, of course, the good second 6 months of last year and first 6 months of this year, nine of that is in the current period, and so would a further 6 months remain, we would then look at improvements in that situation going forward, or engaging if required. But again, the payment requirements is not for us a problem. It is what could happen to cover ratios once again if we do not maintain these levels. But currently, looking forward, there is headroom on measurement periods that is ahead of us under our current scenario. Peter, I don't know whether you want to add.
Yeah, I think if I can just come in. Neil's correct as far as the bank requirements are concerned. I think as far as the business requirements are concerned, we're obviously looking at the horizon in quite a conservative way, and we're cutting out all costs, not that we ever had luxuries, but there are a couple of potential upsides, and I know I've been blamed before for giving upsides, but I want to give it as in the context of potential upside, not to something that will happen for sure. But if you just look at the impact of imports over the last year, or specifically over this last 6 months, if you take quarter two, quarter three this year, and the fact that you can, it's common cause that importers have just increased their prices by about 7 rand a bag. I'm talking 2 weeks ago, 10 days ago. So that indicates that the next ship is at a different rate. Now that in itself will release some volumes that could assist. We're not relying on that, but I think that's just indicating that probably, yeah, if we want a clean break, that's where it will come from, because, and we've said that before, from our Delmas plant, we are the best position to take advantage of that market when it improves.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, just a final reminder, should you wish to ask a question, you're welcome to press star and then one. The next question comes from Charles Bowles of Titanium Capital.
Morning, gents.
Hi, Charles.
Peter and Neil, I'm struggling to be as sanguine as you guys on the outlook. Correct me if I'm misunderstanding here. In the results for the first 6 months for Setchem is a profit of 45 million, and for the 9 months it's 31. So you lost 14 million in Q3. Now I appreciate that the cash flow would be better because you've got the depreciation coming through, but you're running at a loss of 14 million. By all accounts, Q4, given the significant volume fall off, is likely to be a bigger loss. So I suppose, two questions initially. One is, can you just talk through your sense as to why volumes have deteriorated so significantly beyond the economy? Is there any other factor in your mind? That's issue one. And issue two is, maybe you could just deal with your thoughts on the volume declines first.
Okay, maybe if I can just deal with the first question on the costs first. That what we haven't highlighted is our main kiln stop was in quarter three, which incurred abnormal high costs in relation to a quarter. Unfortunately, because we have got the largest single kiln, and when we bring that off, it shows in the quarter. Last year we had that in the first or the second quarter. You've got to try and have it during winter, so we pushed it, but it came through in the third quarter. So that I can unfortunately not predict quarter four, but I can tell you you're making a mistake assuming it will be bigger just because of the increased cost that came through in quarter three. That was a once off. Or it comes through once a year.
Okay.
As far as the volumes are concerned, there are a couple of factors. The first factor is we were running ahead of what the market was doing in the first half, especially the first quarter. And we have mentioned previously when we discussed the results that there were two reasons. The one was because of the rain, that we didn't have as much rain as you would normally have in the first quarter. We had a better quarter, but the more important one was that one of our competitors was struggling with production, and we had a windfall in quarter one in terms of volume. That competitor is still in baby shoes now, but they are getting back into the market, and we've taken a decision not to attack that the price is more important than the volume. So that's point number one. Point number two is our largest competitor introduced a new range, and with that range ran specials for the best part of quarter three. So we would expect that we got a hiding from them. We don't know yet because we haven't seen their numbers yet, but I would expect that. And that you've got to take on the chin from time to time. It's not a permanent situation. It was certainly through entrance and opening specials that were run there. And then subsequent to that, their prices have gone up. So the prices that we were in a price negative situation against them, or maybe in some areas even not competitive enough, we took a strategic decision not to go and reduce prices again, because I think the worst thing that can ever happen to this industry is that you go into the next spiral like we were in 2016. So we acted responsibly. Unfortunately, that showed in quarter three, and that's the truth. So we have been pushed back by a large competitor, and the weak one did start coming back. The good news is the entrant that came in 2016, we believe, is pretty full. So at least that is settled now in terms of new producers coming in, ourselves and the second one that came in, that's out the way at the moment. We're now dealing with day-to-day competitive scenario.
Yeah.
What I can just mention is the last point I want to make is that if you look at the retail space, there has been, or some of the large retailers have gone backwards. Now, Neil has mentioned the fact of the blenders. I personally don't believe that the blender impact was severe in quarter three. They have been increasing over time, but that's not the main impact. What I'm forecasting or seeing, well, I'm not allowed to forecast, sorry, what I'm seeing strategically with the blenders is that they rely totally on fly ash. That's a geographic advantage that they have, and a logistics advantage in a specific geographic area where they add fly ash to our cement and sell the fly ash at higher prices inside the bag.
Okay.
At the moment, fly ash is under a lot of strain. The availability of fly ash is very limited, and that's because of some issues inside Eskom. And I think if you ask some more questions just around that, maybe not in this discussion, if you want to know more about it, there's a lot of information available as to the reasons and why there's no fly ash available and why the fly ash price will come under pressure, because that's going to be the first commodity or raw material into cement that's going to run out. We are fortunate that we have got our own facility on it. Not everybody's that fortunate. So that could just also swing, but I don't want to sound too optimistic, but that is just one other area that could improve the negative sentiment.
So did I understand Q3, you've got the largest market operators running a strategy to bring a new product to market, but by all accounts Q4, and I understand you've got a competitor that, you know, who are essentially back in operation, but I'm trying to understand why in Q4, I mean, you look like volumes in Q4 are down, you know, probably 15%. As I'm understanding you, the market new product thing was largely a Q3 thing. Why would Q4 have been beginning progressively worse?
We're not saying that. I think what we're saying is 5 to 10% overall, because we're not going to be optimistic, and we're not allowed to forecast.
Okay, I'm just saying to get to 5 to 10%, if you're down 3.5 and 9, you know,
that's once again, maybe we need to look at that slide. That's intended to be our view of the market, not our own volumes. And I think
so one last question, if I may. You know, I used the analogy previously, and I think you guys thought it was inappropriate, as saying, you know, we're sticking plasters on a gunshot victim, and you guys said, no, we're being unduly harsh. But it just continues to feel like that. It continues to feel like a business that is underfunded, that is attempting to cure, but, you know, is not dealing with the undercapitalization of the business. It looks like SEPCHEM is once again stretched, might need some shareholder support, as I understand it. Dan Gauthier have provided some sort of support to you in the interim, but surely this is not sustainable. You know, if the market recovers, then so be it. That would be great, but surely this is not a sustainable, you're not putting the business into a sustainable position.
If you look at our cash on hand, I would suggest that a shareholder, and some of us are shareholders as well, to go and raise more equity to fund what we are repaying at the moment. And I think Neil mentioned it, but we are sitting with, I haven't got the number at the top of my head, but it's between 400 and 500 million.
Yes, yeah. Charles,
to say that's under this.
Yeah. I actually, when you mentioned it, it was last year at full year results when you mentioned the plaster on the gunshot on the shotgun wound, and yep. In March of this year, you did not attend our presentation because it specifically showed that during that financial year to the end of March, that plaster worked and the gunshot wouldn't. There was nothing as concerning as we've seen in as a result of third quarter results, with the largest player, bringing in five new products and running specials for the whole quarter. And that's why we're saying the fourth quarter won't be the same. And we're not anticipating that loss to recur. On our side, we don't have a killing stoppage and high maintenance costs. On their side, they have now got their five or six new products in the market. They've run their specials. We've seen more than one price increase from them during this quarter. And already a notice of an increase in next year as well.
Correct.
So that has come out of it, and I really think I'm trying to work on cash, and in answering to Nasha's question, I also try to say that payments for next year is funded with regards to interest and capital, we cannot absolutely decimate shareholders at the moment to go to market at 10% of a 30-day VWAP of 170 to raise capital to repay a debt that you can pay.
Okay, so you're saying, just to be clear, you're saying within Setchem you've got funding based on current trading. You think you've funded for your capital and interest repayments for the 2019 year? And
yes.
You know, Metier, the covenants are getting a little tighter, but you're reasonably comfortable that you are in a position to make those repayments next year as well.
I think, can I just make one other point? And
sure, please.
In retrospect, we didn't need the plaster last year. We went out, we did a conservative forecast, and we saw some of this coming. Not maybe exactly in which quarter, and we reshaped our profile based on a very conservative view of what's still coming. If you look back at what the banks then required shareholders to put in that then got to correctly provided, in retrospect, or once we got past the end of last year at the measurement, it was not required, but it was done as part of a deal. And as management, we were obviously quite happy with what the banks were looking for at the time, because we wanted some leeway as well.
Sure.
If this market falls more, yes, then you're right. But at the moment, we're still seeing some. And we've got some strategies to correct our own position, but as we speak at the moment, we don't need another plaster even, never mind something more severe. But I can't say you're wrong. Maybe in another 6 months, depending on what happens to the country, you might have been right.
Yeah.
At the moment, with the cash that we have on hand, and the repayment requirements, and our forecast, knowing it's not as rosy as we even thought 6 months ago,
yes,
we still believe we're fine.
Yeah, Charles, I just want to say, you know, when we spoke to our March result at the end of June, and even the cement 6 months results at the end of July, cement came off a rolling net profit after tax of 120 million rand during that 12-month period. And Metier for that 3 months maintained comparisons for with the previous year. So we're really coming off a third quarter that is substantially weaker than any other period in which we measured. So the timing to make that comment now is, from your point of view, probably the most appropriate. And we're saying that if we have three quarters like this one, yes, everybody will be right. We're saying that you have a problem. But we have seen, going back to Metier's third quarter, we've now seen, or the calendar third quarter, where Wilson Bailey Holmes makes an announcement to say that the order book has dropped off significantly.
and you see these business risk scenarios, you physically find yourself in a position where a contractor stops on site, or while there's a handover to business rescue, nothing happens for a 6-week period. Then it comes back. But during that 6 weeks, you have overheads and you have running costs, so you need to pour concrete and find it, and you don't find it at best prices then. And you're not the only one looking for it. You're in a highly competitive market. Everybody is trying to keep the wheels turning and pay salaries. And yes, if that recurs for 3 consecutive quarters, no plaster will be good enough. But we are saying that our view is that this was a particularly bad quarter for us, based on what we've put on the table on the cement side, new products at specials on the Metia side. All of these guys going through stop-start operations. Those operations are coming back, and volumes will pick up, and it will be more quality cubes again. It's not going to be at the 2015 to 2016 margins, but it will be better than third quarter margins. But we cannot really predict where it's going to be, but we do not anticipate a repeat of quarter three for us, for ourselves. And I think we are seeing it as well, that it's not going to be the case.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate the clarification.
Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, that was the final question. Esther Kelly, do you have any closing comments?
Yes, thank you, Judith. Just want to thank everybody who's on the call. And if you have any further questions, my email address is right at the back cover of the presentation. And I'll be looking forward to getting any questions that you may have from this call. And thank you to management for taking this call. And have a good day. Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of Sabaka Holdings, that concludes today's conference. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines.